Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True straight up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Boy, a lot to talk about today. This is quite the year for grassroots conservatives in Colorado. We're going to have Dave Williams, who has announced that he is running for Congressional District 5. That just came out this morning. Not unexpected. We talked about that on Friday. And then also Ron Hanks, who's running for CD3, has all of his stuff set
up. Isn't that great?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Lauren Boebert.
We love Lauren. Now we're back on. Let me just say, put this straight. I spent an entire summer, mostly on the eastern half of the state, trying to get the opt out. So I spent a lot of Saturday nights and
we're going to get Jay Christian here in a second.
Okay.
Oh, we do have him with us.
Okay,
oh,
well,
story. Okay. He can only stand for 10 minutes.
All right, we'll get him on right now. Then I'll tell you my story about Eastern Colorado and why we love Lauren Boebert.
All right, Jay Christian Adams is with us, president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. Sir, thank you once again for your time. Welcome, and I understand you guys are filing a brief, or have filed, with the U.S. Supreme Court regarding the Colorado secretary, the Colorado effort to keep Trump off the ballot, right?
Right. We filed it, and then like 20 hours later, the Supreme Court took the case. They have officially taken the case and are going to hear it on February 5th.
No, and is that because you guys joined it? They said, hey, if Jay Christian Adams is on this, we better get on it too.
Yeah, that's funny. I doubt it, but it is. It was quick. I'm glad we got it in.
Now, who do you represent?
Well, the Public Interest Legal Foundation filed it in its own. But we also represent Hans von Spakovsky, who's at the Heritage Foundation.
Ah, okay. And what?
But you don't represent one of the plaintiffs or defendants.
One of the plaintiffs. No. The Colorado Republican Party is the plaintiff.
Right. What? So what is the basis and what number one? I guess.
Well, just interesting that we're going to have the head of the Republican Party on in about 40 minutes, who filed.
Right.
Did file it on. Yeah. So it's great to have you on now.
What is?
Well, let me tell you what. Let me tell you why you won't hear from the head.
Okay.
And that is that we argue that the insurrection clause is gone. It was repealed by Congress in 1898, so it doesn't even exist anymore, the provision of the Constitution that they are acting under to keep him off the ballot.
Right.
Oh, okay. So why don't you explain that? I was going to say the gist of your lawsuit and why it is that you guys, because I think that's a broader issue here, too, than just this 2024 election, and why you guys got involved.
Yeah, nobody was making the argument that this had been repealed by these acts of Congress. This is the only part of the Constitution that allows Congress to repeal the law by just a statute as opposed to a constitutional amendment. And so nobody had been making those arguments. We thought it was important to get them in.
Yeah. Oh, I could see that might even in a nice way give the Supreme Court an out to a certain extent if they don't want to be too political too, huh?
Right. Yeah. Look, you can't disqualify somebody based on a provision that Congress has nullified.
Mm. Now, explain that a little bit, because you're right. We've been obviously here in Colorado talking about this a lot. Talk to me about your reasoning and why it is you think no one else came up with this, or are they just too focused on other stuff?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Hans von Spakovsky, the person that we filed the brief for, found this, and he did the research and found the Amnesty Acts of 1872 and 1898 were passed by Congress. If you read the Constitution, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the provision that Jenna Griswold and all the others are acting under, it specifically says in the last sentence that Congress may repeal this, that Congress may nullify this by an act of Congress. Well, no one seemed to notice that and ask the question, did Congress ever do so? And the answer is yes. In fact, Congress did. And they did it in part because of the Spanish-American War, where they needed a bunch of officers to help, but they weren't allowed because of the insurrection clause. They were Confederate officers. So Congress went in and did what the Constitution allowed, and that was nullify this provision of the Constitution.
Wow. Talk to us a little bit.
Did they specifically mention Article 3 or
the pertinent
Section 3 of Amendment 14?
I'm sorry, what was your first couple words of that question?
Did Congress explicitly address that it was overruling, nullifying of the 14th Amendment, Section 3?
Sure did.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. Good for you guys. Well, and you know, we've seen since the initial lawsuit here in Colorado, and there've been others. And now I saw some guy in Wisconsin was filing it. I mean, to me, this bigger than just the 2024 election and President Trump, which certainly are big enough, but this just is a Pandora's box that anybody, anywhere, everywhere could just file a lawsuit trying to keep a candidate off the ballot, obviously then forcing that candidate to deal with it and then having to rely on, you know, whatever the whims of judges, so to speak. I mean, do you see this too as just a much bigger issue than just this, the 2024 race?
Well, our brief says that the actions to remove the candidate were destabilizing to the country, destabilizing. And that is to have a petty bureaucrat have the power to say who we get to vote for. It took away the right to vote of voters by, this is what they used to do in the Soviet Union. They would have, you know, one party on the ballot, and it's just not what we do in America. And yes, it's much bigger than just Trump in 2024. It's about who gets to decide who the president is. Is it the people through a vote, or is it a Secretary of State who's ideologically motivated? That's what this issue is about.
Right.
Somebody said us the part of Amendment 14, Section 3. It says, but Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 of each house, remove such disability. Did the 72 and 1898 ones have that many people?
Yes. Like I said, it passed twice. The Act of 1898, the Amnesty Act of 1898, it's cited in our brief. You could read the brief if you go to publicinterestlegal.org, and the Act of 1872 specifically cites this provision that you just read in the Constitution.
Wow, that's one of our listeners is saying the repeal that you're talking about was mentioned on a Bill O'Reilly show last month, and the person that was interviewed was disappointed that Trump's lawyers didn't catch that repeal. So great for you guys. Just a final question, because I know you have to go here. How will this play out? Will everybody file their briefs? Will everyone get to actually argue? Or how do you see this playing out?
Well, they're going to have arguments on February 5th, oral arguments. And the briefing is going to be put in the next few weeks. The Public Interest Legal Foundation will be filing what's called a merits brief. What we filed before last week was a request the Supreme Court take the case. They took the case, and we'll be filing a merits brief, amicus, in the next week or two.
Okay. Wow. So will that... And I apologize for my sort of my ignorance of the way the law works there. So even though so you've got the Trump people, you've got the Colorado people, now we've got you guys. I think there have been other attorney generals that have entered into this too.
Well, they're filing amicus briefs. So I guess you're not filing an amicus
you're
brief. You're
a whole different thing then, right?
You guys, I caught both of you, but we're filing amicus briefs.
Okay.
You usually file them a week after the merits briefs get filed, I think, in this case.
All right. Perfect. Okay. Well, listen, so we will let you go. I know I've seen you on Twitter doing interviews all over. So thank you for finding.
Doing a great job.
Yeah.
And thanks for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
All right.
There you go. Okay. So Jay Bye-bye. Christian Adams there, the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. He says you can look at the brief at the publicinterestlegalfoundation.org. So let's go back to Jacob. Jacob, you're on it. Jacob, you need to like call the Trump attorneys. Sandra said, did anyone read that Justice John Roberts was seen having dinner with Jack Smith? Just
yeah,
so you know.
Perfect.
You know, yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen that, Sandra. Wouldn't,
undoubtedly. Yeah.
Wouldn't totally surprise me. But again, Jacob says that Bill O'Reilly was talking about this. So if you're just joining the show, I see we've got a ton of people coming on. We're going to be having here in about 5-10 minutes, Dave Williams is going to come on. And then a little bit after that, Ron Hanks. Dave Williams for CD5, Ron for CD3. This is shaping up to be a great year for grassroots. And Jacob is raising his hand.
All right, Jacob.
Go ahead and explain it to us.
What happened was, I think his name is Peter Jarrett or something. He's usually interviewed on Hannity.
Okay.
But he says the bad part about it is the fact that the Trump lawyers didn't cash it and didn't do it. He's afraid that the Supreme Court may just drop it off and say, you know, it's too late. That was his fear. So even if this guy did file it, you know, the Supreme Court can say, well, you know, we've got everything we need from the lawyers of Trump and everybody else.
And they may not hear it.
Well, the Supreme Court, I promise you, having clerked for a Supreme Court justice, can do what it wants. So if it wants to take it up, it can take it up. It doesn't need the parties to argue it. If the law had repealed it and they find on their own the rule, then they can go, no, we're not going to just ignore something that just because candidate didn't bring it up or the Republican Party bring it up.
And so, folks, what we're talking about is J. Christian Adams of the Legal with the Public Interest Legal Foundation. They filed, and it's going to be an amicus brief in the Trump Supreme Court case, saying that the provision that they're specifically talking about was repealed by Congress, you know, decades ago. I got to imagine that there's tricky legal arguments there, because I'm sure the Mark Elias people, you know, have done their homework. This is something they've been plotting.
Well, they'll say if they repealed in 1872, why would they have to repeal it again in 1898 and 1898.
Right. So you know they're going to try to argue that it wasn't really appealed. But I think, though, everything that gives the way courts work is you want to give them something to hang their hat on. And the more they have to hang their hat on in this case.
I think it's a great argument and gets over with lots of the other ones, whether he's an insurrectionist or not an insurrectionist, whether January 6th was an insurrection. I doubt if they want to get into that detail. I'll just say, hey, this doesn't apply. Boom, bye.
I mean, this would be a magical way for them to do that without, or, I mean, there are any number of things you could do. And Charlene is saying exactly, Chuck, this looks like SCOTUS is looking for cover under legalese. One could hope, although you would hope that at some point the Supreme Court would weigh in on people being able to willy-nilly just, you know, demand that candidates they don't like be kicked off the ballot. No, I know. That's why I wish somebody in a Republican state would kick Biden off the ballot. Just do it, right?
Just do it.
In Maine, they're just like, we don't need any reason. I watch YouTube. I mean, literally, that's what you said. I saw some YouTube clips, so I'm going to do this. Hey, Thomas, you know what I think? If you want to try, he might not be ready yet, but if you want to try to give Dave a call, because J. Christian Adams was a little quicker than we thought he was going to be.
Well, let me go into why I'm for Lauren Boebert now. Come on.
Oh, your story about, well, I'm not anti-Lauren Boebert.
Okay,
we were
critical of carpetbagging. But now the latest one, where she got up in a restaurant and bam, gave it to her husband.
Well,
once,
allegedly,
twice,
she
allegedly,
says
she smacks in the face and so forth. Well, I spent, you know, with our merry band of pranksters, we spent an enormous amount of time in Eastern. I never had, I had reason to spend time in Eastern Colorado. And let me tell you, on a Saturday night, what happens? Everybody goes down the bar, gets drunk, and fights. That's the entertainment for the night.
Disclaimer, I don't think
that's
what happened.
All the folks
anywhere east of
Lyman.
Chambers.
See, Lauren Boebert is going to be able to go now. I'm going to do to Nancy Pelosi what I did to my ex.
No.
I'm going to, you know, all these little wimptards are telling you they'll fight for you. They won't fight for you. You are talking to a fighter. And so I'm all for Lauren Boebert now.
I am too. All
these prissy front range people. She hit her husband.
She didn't hit her husband.
You know, who cares if he hit her? Different thing. But a fighting woman. A mountain woman, a battler, That's who we need.
It's like, this is from Charlene. Yes, Chuck, I tried to tell you to stick with Boebert. Jacob says, read the paper today. Somebody from Texas Congress filed a motion to take Biden off the ballot. Then, Charlene, we need more rednecks in Congress and fewer lawyers. No offense, Chuck, agree, Chuck. Well, the bottom line is, though, what is shaping up to be here is, as we've talked a little bit about this Friday, a great 2024 election for the grassroots of Colorado, which, of course, you know, has rhino heads and establishment heads exploding across the state, because for once they're sort of on the outs of this. So we've got Lauren Boebert. And again, Charlene, you were right. I was critical of her move from.
So was I. But that little spark of life, that little firecracker. Well, that's why I elected her in the first place. The gun. And look at this. Chuck, she wasn't carrying her gun. Because she knows alcohol and guns don't go together. So she just gets a hand. You know, you try
we
doing that to somebody. Just bam, bam, bam.
We don't know what happened at
we
all.
We do know. And those people in Eastern Colorado go, that's what we do, honey. Every Friday night, we go out there, we get drunk, and we have a license to. Yes, you do. That's what a marriage license is. It's a license to fight. So it's.
We're start mute and check here any moment now.
Oh, God. It's hard.
Okay, Dave Williams is with us. Thank God Dave is sitting there. Hey, Dave Williams, chair of the Colorado Republican Party, and now announces candidacy for CD5. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave, congratulations.
Time.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. So we'll give you sort of a softball, open-ended question just to let folks.
That really hit hard.
But then what made you, you know, obviously you're busy being COGOP chair. What made you decide that you wanted to get involved in CD5 again?
I guess it would anger Dick Wadhams. And so that was certainly a motivating factor. Look, I mean, in all seriousness, I'm running because the 5th Congressional District needs a proven conservative leader who is going to fight against the corrupt Washington establishment.
A fighter.
This is exactly. This is why I ran the first time 2 years ago against Doug, is because I didn't think we had enough leaders who would be in Washington fighting the good fight on behalf of the hardworking taxpayers of our community, our country. They're getting taken for a ride. These people play by the rules and do everything they can to make ends meet.
That's what I've been trying to tell Julie. Everybody wants a fighter.
Okay, I agree with you.
You're a fighter. Lauren Boebert's a fighter, and she proved it Saturday night.
Go ahead.
You can go to my website at daveforcolorado.com, by the way. But I reference the hit song, Richmond, North of Richmond.
Yeah.
That song encapsulates everything that's wrong with our country, is that we have a bunch of crooks in Washington who only want to take more of your money and your freedom and give power to themselves and their special interest buddies. And we got to have someone who's going to stand up to it and say, that's enough.
Well, can you imagine a congressional group from Colorado being let's go Brandon, Ron Hanks, and of course, smack him on Saturday night, Lauren Boebert. I mean, it's a chance. It's a chance to show a different side of the Republican Party.
Well, like I said, it would anger Dick Wadham. So
it really make him mad.
No, it made Chrissy Burton Brown mad too. So let me ask you this here, Dave, because I know that Chrissy Burton Brown is already saying highly unethical for you to run as chairperson. Apparently, forgetting that Ken Buck did that too. But how would you address that?
It's highly unethical to lie to the Central Committee that we had $120,000 left in the bank account.
Yeah, really.
When in fact it was really $8,000 in liquidity with $60,000 in debts and unfunded liabilities. That's what's unethical. Truth is, there's nothing wrong with a chairman running for political office because the bylaws allow it, number one. And number two, I'm not the chairman of the 5th CD. I'm the chairman of the state party. So if there are any conflicts that are going to arise, which we don't think they will.
Right.
But if there are any, then I'm going to do what Ken Buck was going to do when he was chairman.
Yeah,
I'm going to recuse myself from those conflicts. And that's all she wrote. There's no problem here.
Right. Well, and let's explain that to folks too, because Christy Burton Brown in the Denver Post article, which once again turns everything that can into an attack on grassroots people, was like, well, you know, it's never been done before. Can you explain? Ken Buck did it, right?
Ken Buck was a congressman who was running for re-election, and he's also chairman of the party. Now, some of the belly-aching critics, like Dick Wadhams, or even KBB, I guess now, they knew full well that there was always a potential for Ken Buck to have a primary. And they're saying that, well, he never ended up having a primary because no one ran against him. That's not the point. The point is he ran for chair before he knew that. And so he was prepared to have these measures in place, which we have. If these conflicts arise, then Hope Shepelman, our vice chairwoman, and Anna Ferguson, our secretary, they can handle any of those conflicts so that I can recuse myself. And that's more than appropriate. That's more than fine. Here's the truth. They're all belly aching. They're all whining because they just don't like grassroots conservatives. Being the chair, myself being the chair, and two, they sure as heck don't want me to go to Congress. They just don't like me. That's really what it is. They do not like, it's a personality thing that they got. They're not about the people. They're about getting their friends elected. And that's why they're objective.
Well, and they don't care that their friends don't do anything, right? I mean, could you have, we were talking with a friend about this, and he was like, I'm like, did you hear Doug Lamborn announced he's not going to seek re-election? He was like, who's Doug Lamborn? And I mean, and this is a person who's active and, you know.
Well, 19 years he's been a congressman. I mean,
it's like.
Well, he's done a lot.
So that's what they're really upset about too, Dave, is they don't want anyone going to Congress who's going to actually do anything, because that will upset the establishment apple cart, right? And their stock insider trips and things.
Like, I mean, here's the truth. You know how many people on the Central Committee or around the state are relieved that I'm not vacating the chair? I mean, they're actually
You're talking to one person who's a member of both, and particularly the executive committee. And I talked to a lot of executive committee members today, and they're thrilled. They are thrilled and almost a demand that you not resign. They love it. They just love it. They do.
Right. I mean, look, we can do two things at once. Right? As I told George Brockler, I can walk and chew gum at the same time. There's not going to be a problem here. And all this comes down to are my critics who have been wrong about everything. They said the party would fail. It hadn't. They said we wouldn't be able to bring money in. We have. And now they're looking for any other reason to complain and whine because ultimately they have more in common with Democrats than they do Republicans.
Yes. That's right.
They would rather attack Republicans. They would rather attack conservatives because they're okay with the expansion of government. They're okay with these crooked Washington insiders taking more of your money because ultimately that's what they want to do. If they had the opportunity to grab the brass ring and wield it for their own special, you know, interests or feathering their own nest, they would. And that's why I'm running, to stop those people.
I'm through.
All right. What's going on in Colorado? So we've got you, we've got Lauren Boebert, we've got Ron Hanks, three essentially grassroots conservatives now running for the, you know, two of them are establishment Rhino people are not running again. And then Lauren switched. What's going on in Colorado? I mean, I think I would say 2 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, no way. Could anyone ever win? Grassroots are doomed. I mean, what's been happening, do you think? I mean, I know what I think, but I'm curious, what do you think is happening that's given to this rise in Colorado?
I definitely think there's a paradigm shift within the Republican Party, right? I think sort of your old establishment guard wing of our party, the sold out, corrupt Dick Wadhams wing of our party, they're just losing power because people are waking up. They're like, we don't want that. We want someone who's going to actually limit government and keep their promises about that. And so we're going to look for other candidates, you know, like Dave Williams, right? Like Lauren Boebert, like, you know, Ron Hanks, right? I mean, these are people who represent that wing of the party that Donald Trump helped, you know, really bring to the forefront in 2016. And then the other thing I think is going on is that you have folks, the grassroots themselves, they've increased their power because they've increased their activity in the party. They've gotten involved more. The precinct strategy is a big reason why I'm even chairman of the party, is because they knew that if we're really going to reform the system, we got to get engaged and we got to start occupying these lower level party positions.
Right.
So I think everybody's tired of wussified rhinos. Ron Hanks became famous because he shot up a copying machine on air.
Well, it's a Dominion, the Dominion voting machine.
Well, okay, Dominion machine on air with an assault rifle. I mean, it was great. And that everybody said, yeah, he's going to fight for us. Lauren Boebert shows she's in fighting shape. This is going to be an incredible election.
But I mean, I think so. I mean, I'm very excited. The truth of the matter is this: if CD4 and CD3 are any indication, CD5 is going to see a plethora of candidates jumping into the race. And based on our performance from 2 years ago, we think we're in pretty good shape to win that district.
You know, let me ask you about that, because we've got all the usual. You got, Eli Bremmer. You've got Wayne Williams.
Jerry Sonnenberg.
I mean, Michael Bob Gardner Lynch. Might be. No, well, I mean, in all of the districts, right? But specifically in CD5, normally what happens is the establishment is solidified around one candidate, and then they send fake candidates up to try to defeat the grassroots voice. But it could be different this time around in some of these districts, right? Where you have the legitimate conservative grassroots candidate is the only one, and then you have maybe not all in all of the districts, but then you've got the establishment kind of fighting amongst themselves, right?
I mean, sure. I think that's exactly right. Here's the obvious fact that everyone should kind of consider. These are three congressional districts that either lean Republican or are solidly Republican. And when you have a lot of, Republicans who want to move up, you're going to have a lot of competition, just from the start. And the establishment, there's no honor among thieves, right? They may have worked together in the past to stop the grassroots,
right?
But when you're dangling a congressional, seat in front of them that could last them in 20 years, they're gonna be tempted to take it. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that they're not going to coalesce around one person, because they all want the brass ring. And that's the problem. We have too many politicians who want to be in charge. Instead, we should have elected representatives, leaders who are going to serve the people and do everything they can to empower folks to keep more of their money and have more of their freedom.
What about, we got to ask you, because since you and Donald Trump are best friends now, he calls you at home and says, hey, Dave, I mean, have you talked to him? Or are you going to talk to him to try to get an endorsement, or how does that play out?
Well, to quote Donald Trump, we'll see, right? but you could bet your bottom dollar. You can bet your bottom dollar, though, that those discussions are happening, and stay tuned.
Okay. Okay. Well,
wait a minute.
He's got to be
Wait a minute. Would Dick Wadhams approve of Trump? I mean, wouldn't that upset Dick Wadhams?
That alone is worth the effort.
Dick Wadhams' head will totally explode then. Well, you're going to be, hopefully you can sit next to him at the Supreme Court hearings, right? Because that are coming up to you. Because, hey, I don't know if you've heard, but I'm running for Congress or something.
I think the next month or two is going to be pretty exciting for the grassroots in Colorado.
I think so, too.
I think so, too.
It'll be just great.
I think it's going to be great. Well, Dave, listen, where can people go, your website, because I've got Ron Hanks here now, too. What a packed show. Where can people go to if they want to donate? Because I'm sure that's always helpful.
Yeah,
or organize, volunteer, etc.
Yeah, you bet. Visit my website at Dave for Colorado, daveforcolorado.com. And sign up for our newsletter, chip in, donate, help us have a good rollout of this campaign. And don't worry, we're gonna win. We're on the path to victory.
I can guarantee you the next executive session, there's going to be a resolution introduced by me and quite a few other people begging you not to relinquish the Republican Party chair. So.
I'm not going anywhere, I promise you.
All right, Dave, thank you so much. Thank you for ending the race.
Thanks,
we appreciate all you do.
You bet. Take care.
All right, thank you there, Dave Williams. Yeah, it was kind of funny, Chuck, before we go to Ron, the Denver Post had a story where, they quote Christy Burton Brown saying that Dave is highly unethical, and they point out, well, that, the Post points out, she doesn't, that Ken Buck was, the chair, and he said, but he was already elected. It's like,
that's what I said. Oh, he was an incumbent. Totally different.
Right, but it's
totally
but
different.
Run for re-election.
Well, no, total difference.
That doesn't
nowhere
count.
Close. I mean, it's apples and oranges.
Nor did they mention that the Colorado Republican Party is currently, as Dave mentioned at the beginning, going, you know, pursuing civil, possibly criminal allegations
against KBB.
Against KBB. So, of course, talk about unethical. Yeah. You should say, oh, you know, like, I really have this conflict there. But let's move on now to the other bit of good news. Ron Hanks. We talked about this before. Ron Hanks announced he is now going to run for Congress in CD3. That was Lauren Boebert's Florida thing. And he joined us here now, too. Hey, Ron, once again, thank you for your time.
Hey, Ron.
It's a pleasure, as always. Thank you.
So let me first just ask you your reaction. So Doug Lamborn quits, Lauren moves, Dave is in there. I mean, what do you, to me, this is great for grassroots.
Yeah, it's historic, I think, in the sense of, have we ever had all of the Republican seats open at once? Now, it's too bad we don't have more Republican seats. Frankly, CD8 could have been won and could be won this next time around. So, I mean, the good news may not just stop with CD3, CD4, CD5. CD8 is potentially...
CD8 get some other candidates. I know they asked Julie to run, and the party asked Julie to run, and she didn't want to do it, and I agreed with her. I think it's fair to say that.
I think some people asked me if I would be interested. I don't think there is
enough. She's so modest. She is just so modest.
Yeah. And then if I would have the Nobel Peace Prize. And I said no to that, too.
But right now, you just have Rhino Supreme, the county commissioner, one representative that it got a 66 rating from Princes of Liberty. So we've got to get some grassroots candidates in eight also, because right now it's just Rhinoville.
Yeah.
And they lost last time. They had Barbara
Kirkmeyer. Well, the Democrats are not going to surrender that one easy.
Well, they're not going to surrender. But then again, I know we didn't vote for Barbara Kirkmeyer. I mean, we weren't going to vote for Barbara Kirkmeyer. We didn't vote for the Democrat, but we weren't going to vote for her.
You know, I thought Colorado would be on the sidelines waiting for some big event to happen in one of the other states, both with regard to election security and also the candidates. And all of a sudden, we are the center of gravity, or certainly a center of gravity. And it's an exciting time. And I think the voters ought to be encouraged. I do think we draw a little more attention. Dave Williams coming into the race certainly broadens the exposure, given everything he's had to do as chairman of the party, trying to keep Donald Trump on the ballot so that Republicans can even make a selection in this Secretary of State's little Wally World election that she'd like to put together. So, you know, It's a great time right now. I mean, I take nothing for granted in the CD3 race. I didn't expect to run, but
so thrilled. And I know everybody. When the only person in the race was a corporate panty waist, Jeff Hurd, backed by, all the dinosaurs in the party. We all say, oh, Christ, that guy is worse than a Democrat. And then all of a sudden our hero comes in and it's perfect.
Texting. Well, what made you jump in? Talk to us a little bit about that.
A sense of urgency and an ask. Basically, I was asked by people, given what we had done in the race for U.S. Senate in 2022, people that crunch numbers better than I do, that strategize better. I'm kind of a straight ahead lineman or fullback. I see something right or wrong, and I want to move to address it. These folks said, look, you did very well in CD3 when you were running for U.S. Senate. You beat the petition on candidate in CD3. You've got name recognition. We need to secure that seat for conservative Republican votes. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, I expect Donald Trump will win in 2024. As I said at the assembly, I think he won in 2020. I'm sure he did. So we can't have a Congress that sandbags the next Republican administration. I think it's going to be Trump, but whoever it may be, we don't need a Paul Ryan type of speaker. And that is one of the specific roles of your representatives, is to choose the speaker. And I don't know what to say about Mike Johnson right now. I was holding out some hope. I don't know what this Schumer deal was. You can spin it bad. You can maybe see Johnson's perspectives. Don't know yet. But bottom line, we have got to have somebody firm should Trump get back there, because we've got a lot of damage to undo from this Biden regime.
Well, one of the hardest things, of course, is running for any political office is money. Jeff Hurd has gotten all the rhino money he can up there. And, of course, Adam Frisch has been building millions for a couple of years.
Yeah.
How's that part going?
Well, I will say this, Chuck. We are still building the machine. I had not expected to do this, and I kind of I'd closed the drapes on a lot of these things. And so we're building it right now. I'm comfortable, though, that we have the head start on relationships. You know, we know everybody, and we know a lot of people in every county, not just CD3. But the Senate race proved to be, you know, useful. You know, and it was not a practice run. We ran that to win in spite of all of the circumstances, but it has become a real leg up. Yeah. And the other thing I would say, too, is I don't know what the rest of these people are doing that are in the CD3 race, but I'm going through assembly. I'm not doing the petition. And if any of those guys go through the assembly, you know, they might look back on the 2022 assembly for U.S. Senate, where we cleared the table.
Right.
And it was only us versus the guy who paid for his name to be on the ballot. So,
and new rules have been adopted by the Republican Party where they can offer support to people who go through the assembly against people who don't.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great thing now.
Right.
I think that's going to be important, too. And I think it should force people to face the voters as possible. Let's see if it happens or not.
Yeah, but I agree with you, too.
So is Dick Wadhams backing you?
No. You know, I'll be honest, Chuck. I don't listen to what he says. I don't listen to a lot of the Denver radio. And truth to tell, it's hard to get out here. I mean, they are the little Denver front range, and you know, God bless them for being there and thinking what they do. Everybody has a right to an opinion, but I'm pretty sure Dick Wadhams doesn't like me very much. And you know what? The sun still comes up in the morning.
The Denver Post keeps, even in Dave's article, and they mention every time they talk about you, what does he say, repeats Donald Trump's baseless election. It's like, shut up. I mean, that's why no one reads them. But let me ask you, strategy-wise, I think what is really exciting here, too, number one, we've got you three people who are proven, you know, grassroots warriors, as I keep saying. But also, you all have Lauren Boebert. Okay, she's switching districts, but she's got her basic infrastructure in place and her people. You, as you've said, you ran through for Senate, so you've got an infrastructure. Dave was in 2022, ran for in CD5, so he's got, I mean, you guys are able, I think, to hit the ground running, right? You're not saying, you know, if you run for Congress, what do I do next?
Yeah,
right?
do I have to open a bank account?
Yeah. I mean, I think that gives you, all three of you, a significant advantage, doesn't it?
It does. And the difference for me in this race versus the 2022 U.S. Senate run was I was still working at the state house. And and the minority leadership at the time, one of whom is deceased, so obviously we'll be gentle here. But they sandbagged me with an extra committee, and so be it. You know, I mean, I saw it coming and didn't complain. But now the point is, you know, I can live in my truck and just hit all 27 counties. It's a big, big district. And I think me and my little fleet of used old tired vehicles will be all over the place.
What do you see as some of, I guess, the biggest challenges there? I mean, the Lauren Boebert thing, obviously she didn't leave because she thought she would win there. And I don't know if it was just a her thing or whether she's conceding to Adam Frisch's bazillion dollars.
Maybe she just wanted to get away from her awful ex-husband.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? I have no speculation on that. I frankly feel as though you know, Lauren Boebert served us well with many, many of her votes. And, you know, I don't want to jump in and make any comments on it. Whatever she felt she had to do was her business. And my role in this whole thing is to fill a gap in the line that was a conservative vote. And we need to keep it that way because Trump, the likely winner of this 2024 race, is going to need the help. And I think Trump is going to win this because Biden has been so demonstrably bad that Democrats can't endure this. And,
well, in 2020, Trump didn't come to Colorado. And we're all really hoping now that we got these open Republican seats with grassroots Trump supporters in them and Dave Williams and the party all united behind him. Hope he'll come.
Give us a rally.
Just one big rally. You know, I don't know.
Well, I got to be honest, Chuck. I think if Trump comes here, he's going to go to Colorado Springs because that's Dave Williams' race. But if he gets here, I'm going to ask him if he couldn't divert and land in Grand Junction for 20
minutes. Why not? You know? Why not?
That's right.
Take that big Trump plane. That's a beauty. Right. That's a beauty.
Even if he doesn't land, if he could just circle.
Fly over.
Have a little banner like they do at the Rockies game. Yeah. Run,
go Rockies.
Right. Hey, go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You know, the Democrats, I think, have said wisely, well, we don't care who we're running against, right? I mean, that
we'll rig it. We don't care. Yeah. We'll do the mail ballot. We'll do the ballot harvesting. We'll do our, don't care who runs.
What I meant is they were saying that, you know, initially their whole battle was Lauren Boebert. So obviously they have to sort of strategically shift gears a little bit, but they still do have like, $8 million, something like that. Do you think that might go away now that it's not Lauren, or do you be like, oh my God, Ron Hanks is every bit as grassroots as Lauren Boebert?
You know, I don't know. And I can't predict some of their behaviors. I know that Frisch has a fair bit of money, but I don't know how much money it takes to polish over the lies and the disaster that's been Joe Biden. And
his own lies as an Aspen City Council person, purportedly blackmailed because he's going to show film of him going into a shack for an extramarital affair.
Yeah. I mean, first things first, we got to get through the primary and then we'll deal with, he's got a primary too, I guess. And, so, you know, I'm glad of that because, all of the voices should get a chance to make their case. But $8 million, you can't, boy, how many ads can you, how many lies can you broadcast over and over again, you know?
Well, so, you raise a really good point.
It's for ballot harvesting. Yeah, it's not for ads.
But the Democrat has to run essentially on Joe Biden. I mean, that's who's really running no matter where you are, I think, in a lot of places. And I know that the Democrat, you read these things about, Joe Biden is going to hand it off at the last minute to somebody else at the Democrat convention. I don't think that that's going to be good enough. I mean, the country is still, it's like, so what? You're going to make things even worse, right?
The sad part about it is Joe Biden was a terrible candidate in 2020. He didn't leave his basement. He was awful. But they ballot harvested and they took mail in ballots. They cheated everywhere. They cheat bigger in Colorado than almost any other place. And then you have Dick Wadhams tell us we have the best voting system and Ken Buck tells us we have the gold standard. I mean, that's the problem. They've gotten away with everything.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Joe Biden hasn't just been a miserable resident president, whatever you want to call him. He was a miserable senator and, frankly, a miserable human being since he first came on the scene in 1973. You know, the things he said about the man who was in a traffic accident that killed his spouse and a child. I mean, by the time Joe Biden got done lying about the guy, the guy offed himself. And it's a tragedy that he did that. He was a truck driver. And, Joe Biden has exploited victimhood and the death of his family members for his own gain. And, I had Democrats in the family. My grandfather was a Democrat. I've gone to the Truman Museum and find him to be one of the more patriotic Americans. I know there were policy issues, but that man was put in a ditch by FDR and his lack of knowledge. There are good Democrats out there. I know there still are in rural America. And I think they're going to have a come to Jesus moment.
Well, the one thing Joe gets to do, which other people have done before, is you trot out your son. So you got Hunter Biden, and he can get out there and say hi.
Yeah.
You want to give me some money?
Be his family member. Well, Ron, let me ask you this, because I know, where can people go if they want to volunteer? Because like we said today, everybody's going to need all the help they can get. I know, like you said, you're opening the drapes up and letting stuff in, but I'm sure you've got stuff set up now where people can go volunteer and all.
Yeah, we're chasing a pack rat or two out of the old website, but it'll be up here, and that will be hanks4colorado.com. And as far as contacting me directly, the email is hanks4colorado@proton.me. So I'm trying to get away from the Gmail at this point. I feel like there's too much intrusion into my laptop already. So
yeah, there is. The Gmail people, I mean, it's already been proven, right? Gmail and some of the other mail accounts too will throw some of the Republican stuff into spam automatically. So, yeah. All right. Well, hey, so say that email again. Is it FOR or four?
It is. It's FOR. It's hanks4colorado@proton.me.
All right, Ron, thank you for coming. Thank you
for running. We're so excited and thrilled. And this is going to be a really exciting election season. This is
It will be, and I'm eager to hit all 27 counties, and we'll be up in Moffitt, Rio Blanco here in the next couple of days. So it starts from there.
All right. Ron, thank you very much. Take care. We'll see you on the trail.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the time.
Sure, Ron Hanks. There, we've got a ton of comments from people.
The comment I liked from much earlier was from Charlene. She said, regarding Lauren Boebert, it's Saturday night at the Twist and Shout. Now, if you've ever heard the song Down at the Twist and Shout by Mary Chapin Carpenter, I play it all the time. Oh. But it drives her nuts. She can't stand hearing Mary Chapin Carpenter doing Down at the Twist and Shout. But that was a perfect song for Lauren Boebert, and that'll be her song for the thing. Bring Mary Chapin Carpenter out here. I mean, she's kind of a libtard, but maybe she'd join the campaign.
Okay. And here then are some of the, let's see, this is back from, you go, Dave Williams, and thank you for the chuckle regarding Dick Wadhams. Let's see. Thanks to Ken Buck for paving the way, just proving that everybody's good for something. That's true. Dave, from Sandra, Dave wasn't paid for the chairman position for, I believe he said, 6 to 8 months because of KBB and her cohorts. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that they're trying to, you know. And then Leo says, Julia Dimin machine is a copy machine. Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. That's pretty good, Leo. and then Jacob points out, how come Phil Weiser, our attorney general, was unaware the resurrection law was repealed? Mm. He probably was. And then from Sandra again, many are waking up because of Dave and Anna Ferguson and Randy Corcoran and more, because they're telling us the truth and fighting for us instead of what the gutter Republicans, the Dick Wadhams, have not done. Charlene, I'm asking Heidi Ginnall to donate to the Colorado GOP's effort to keep Trump on the ballot while she's setting up her Rhino Red group. It's pretty good, Charlene. Holy cow, everybody loves Ron Hanks. Ron Hanks is smart. Thank you, Ron, everybody is saying. And Ron is saying thank you to us. When Charlene goes back to your song, Backbone Radio played it yesterday.
Did they really?
Mm-hmm.
Love that song. Love that song. 1992, Mary Chapin Carpenter.
But I think the bottom line is,
why don't you like this?
I don't know. I don't know how it goes, but don't sing it. That's what
you want me to sing it? Okay.
No, I don't know. I want you to sing it. I think it's good because, as I was saying to Ron, we've got three Republicans, grassroots Republicans. Usually grassroots Republicans are not usually, but too often don't have all the infrastructure, right? They've never run before.
It's a long haul and everything else. And now all three of them hit the ground at different
but they know what they're doing, right? I mean, Dave is just kind of we played his, you know, he put out as a teaser Friday his 2022 ad. Right?
And which was perfect.
It's all pertinent today. You've got Lauren, she just transfers her machine, basically, there is of it, to CD4. And then Ron Hanks, having run a statewide primary campaign, right? I mean, he's got contacts all over the place. It's not like, you know, he doesn't know anyone there or doesn't have any contacts. So
I'll play at the next show for the opening.
We can't, because they will ban us. We can't, because we don't have that copyright thing.
I'll sing it for Party Friday.
Leo says maybe he should run for CD7 just to put the dogs on Brudy Pedersen. You should. We'd support you, Leo. We could have you on the show and you could do it.
You could sing Twist and Shout.
You can sing Twist and Shout. Well, so obviously Wednesday we'll be talking a lot more about this. We want to thank Jay Christian and that's just great.
That
they're filing.
What a show.
Yeah. Ron and Dave.
This is going to be an exciting time, everybody.
That's right. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. Thomas at BBS for keeping everything rolling around straight. Lots to talk about on Wednesday. We will see you then.
Take care, everyone.